To be present, we must be intentional, and to bear fruit, we must feed the soul. You're listening to Pod Sip and Ponder. Welcome back to another episode of Pod Sip and Ponder. Today we are here over Zoom, and I'm so excited for today's topic. If this is your first time here, this is a podcast where we talk about everything and anything in the aim to give you some encouragement, some insight, hearing the stories of others and how vulnerability can be a great strength. And today I have my guest speaker that I actually came across online on YouTube. When some of you guys know that I love tiny homes, I love going out and traveling, and tiny homes, tiny cabins was something that I was really into the last couple of years. And I came across Tiny Homes' YouTube channel. And I went to one of the videos, and it was Denitra Gary, who I was so intrigued by, not only just her beautiful tiny home and the life that she's cultivated, but just her spirit, her energy, how she seems to be very passionate about serving others. And that's what we are all about here on Pod Sip and Ponder. Just a quick intro of who our guest is today. She is a counselor, a Christian-based therapist. And if I'm not wrong, she's also a social worker, and she's been doing it for quite some time. So I really wanted her on the podcast. Just thought of hitting her up on Instagram. She is here, and we are so grateful and honored to have her. But welcome, Denitra. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Could you please share a little bit more about yourself? Of course, we're going to get into more about, the life that you've cultivated and your brand and your business. But anything about you, any of your interests, hobbies?
Well, like you mentioned, I'm a social worker. I've been a social worker for the last 12 years. And within social work, I became a counselor. I've been doing therapy for full-time for about 3 years now, but on and off throughout my career. I have a little dog. Her name's Molly Sue. She's a older dachshund. She's almost 16 now. I like to cook. I am a vegan, so I enjoy cooking. I enjoy reading. I enjoy coloring. I enjoy Bible journaling. So crafting is one of the things that I really enjoy. And I like to talk. I like to make friends. I like to meet people. I am a chatty patty. So I enjoy making friends, meeting people. That's me in a nutshell.
Thank you for sharing. Could you share more about Compliment and Complete? After I came across your video on YouTube of your tour of your tiny home, I wanted to see more of the work that you're doing. I saw that you had your website. Could you please share more about what Compliment and Complete is?
So Compliment and Complete, I started it in 2016, and it was just a conversation I was having with a friend, because I was saying, people are always saying, you complete me, I was like, people shouldn't complete you. They should compliment you. And from there, we had like a quick conversation, and I came up with the whole CNC logo. And I just went on this desire to determine how to allow God to complete you and others to compliment you. And that's just, it started from a spark. It really was a spark, and it became a flame because I started going through my own trials, and the Lord started working on me. And within those trials, I had to heal from a lot of attachment disorder, and the attachment disorder is what was causing me to want someone to complete me. Hmm. And so I had to go on my own journey of emotional healing and working through a lot of emotional roots. And so the basis and the premise of my practice is to help you overcome emotional roots that lead to sin. So we're talking about anger and fear and anxiety and all these things that we have struggles overcoming. And they start from early in our childhood. And as a result of it, we develop patterns of thinking. And these patterns of thinking cause us to want to attach and overattach or withdraw from people in unhealthy ways. It keeps us from being able to develop healthy relationships. So the Lord took me on my own journey of emotional healing. And from then I created a program. I have three programs. I have a journal, a prayer guide, and these are all tools. And I also have a community of women. And these are all tools that we provide to help people to it's one thing to tell someone that they need to be closer to God. It's another thing to tell them how to do it. And so this is actually providing you with this resources and the tools to overcome trauma, emotional pain, the things that keep you codependent on other people.
Wow. I love the work that you're doing. And thank you. It seems what the verse that comes up to my head when you share your testimony is when Paul says, in my weakness, he is strong. He's made strong. And I definitely see that reflected in the work that you do, that of course being able to step out and be even vulnerable about, you know, your past and your personal life for others is a great step. But I remember in your videos how you talked a lot about how it really, your faith really helped you get through that, kind of go over that hurdle to be able to step out, and that there's really a great strength in sharing our story, because it's not just an event, but it's something that can impact other people's life. We don't know who else is going through the same thing. And so it takes a lot to step out of our comfort zone, but that's where God's glory is shown. And that's where, you know, that's where he really shows the great things that he can do and how he can transform people. So that's amazing.
Yeah, I remember when I first made that decision, and to even move, you know, the Lord had moved me around, has moved me around so many times. So moving wasn't a problem, but this was a whole different type of move. It was completely not, you know, not to your average apartment. So to have to, you know, make this decision and go without a place, like that whole tiny home transition was one of the things that the Lord used to help me to depend on him. Because first I went without, I had to move out of my apartment, and I pretty much gave away everything, 90% of what I owned. I remember when I moved into the trailer, I had my friend, he came to pick me up in his truck, and he packed up his, I was staying on his lot in hit with his family. I had my trailer on his lot. And so he came over to come pick up my stuff. And I thought that everything that I got rid of, you know, just a truckload of stuff, that's all I had. 60% of what I brought over to his house would not fit in that trailer. Wow. And I had to put it outside the trailer and pretty much give away all of it. And so that was, you know, that was one thing, having to move out of the townhome. But then when the Lord told me to sell the trailer, then it was like, okay, now I don't have nowhere to live. And I really didn't know all of the details about the tiny house yet. I didn't really know which builder I was going to go with at that moment. I didn't know how it was all going to work out. I just knew that, you know, I didn't want this trailer anymore to kind of, I didn't want to have to, it was either I got a truck to pull the trailer and keep it, or sell it and take that money and use it towards the tiny house. So that just seemed like the best decision. And then I was moving across country. So, but you know, to not have a home, that was the first thing that I had established for myself at the age of 19. Cause I, you know, I come from a traumatic home, and I wanted to get out of the house to have some peace. And so I moved out pretty early. And one of the things that I had established, the first thing I established for myself is my own space, and a space that I could call my home, that was, you know, where I wasn't going to hear no arguing. I wasn't going to have to worry about if we were going to get, you know, evicted. I wasn't going to have to worry about if, lights would get turned on, like it just was a stable place. And to have to go from that to now, I'm almost that was when I was around 37 when I got the tiny house, to go from now this at 37 when I'm having to pretty much be without a home. I wouldn't say homeless because I stayed with a friend, but there was a period of about a month where I did not know where I was going to stay. From week to week, I was at a different person's house. And finally, once I got in West Virginia, it was established that I was going to stay with my friend, but we had not planned that. I didn't know all of that until literally I got there. And I didn't know how long I was going to stay with her, you know, so nothing was planned. It was literally every move that I made as far as getting the home. It was all step by step. Like it was all a leap of faith. And I remember I ended up having to stay with her for 9 months. And at one point I didn't even know if I was going to get it because I lost my job during that time and lost my job literally a week before I applied for the tiny house. So, you know, they want pay stubs and all these different things, and they want to know what's your pay stub for your current job. Like they specifically asked that. I had a pay stub, but my job was, you know, I had just lost the job the week before. So, getting all the documents, I ended up getting a part-time job and was able to give them the verification that they need, because I'm self-employed. So, you know, the whole tax thing, they want a pay stub. So anyway, it was just a whole thing. And it was step by step by step. And the Lord used it as one of the things to help me to really depend on him, you know, that I have a place for you and I will never leave you or forsake you.
So inspiring for you to share what happens behind the scenes, which not a lot of people get to see. And it's so nice being able to learn from other people's process of how they got to where it is. I always talk about how I'm so intrigued by the in-between moments, because those are the really important moments, you know, not really so much. And you said life was pretty much uncertain to you almost every step of the way. But that is where faith really has to happen, and where even if there's a lot of uncertainty, and I'm someone who likes to know what the next step is, you know, asking the Lord like what is next for me, but he always reminds me just to let me do what I do best, and just to fully trust in me. And so thank you for sharing that. Can we talk more about, so now that you're living with less stuff, in any way, does that kind of reflect your life personally, like having to let go of things? Does that have any parallel to that?
Not so much, because I am a natural organizer. I had an organizing business for a couple years. So letting go of stuff is not something that's a struggle. I don't have a problem getting rid of stuff. I can say that I look at things a lot different being in a tiny house, because there's just really only so much you can have, unless you're going to have a shed and fill a shed up, which some people need to have that. And I do have a small shed to have like outdoor stuff in. But if you're just going to try to be, you know, keep things minimal, and I wouldn't even call myself a minimalist, my place is quite cozy, but, I just whenever I bring something in here, I always know I got to give something away, you know, like I can't have shoes in three different colors. You know, I can't have a shirt in three different colors. I can't have more than two or three pairs of tennis shoes. I have to really be, you know, and you just see you. I remember when I lived in a bigger place, that just was never a thought, how many shoes you have and how many pairs of jeans you have. And I just have to be very aware of what comes in and what's going out. And I can't have multiples of many things. And it's okay, you know. Usually I have a few different skirts and one pair of shoes to go with all skirts, you know. So it's just that type of mindset.
All right, so you never really had any, I guess, emotional attachment to any of the items that you had. It was really easy for you.
No, yeah, I don't have an emotional attachment to things. I never really have. I come from a military background, so I was taught how to organize and get rid of stuff from a very young age. So I don't have a problem at all. Like I told you, 60% of that stuff in the trailer I had to put outside the trailer, and I literally threw it all away the next day. Like, I didn't throw it all away. I gave it to Goodwill the next day. Even my friend was like, "You sure you don't want to go through this?" Because I didn't even go through most of it. I just did. I was over it. And but there was really no attachment.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's already a big, great step forward. I did wanted to mention, oh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, okay. So with tiny living, you have cultivated this life, and of course with by the grace of God, and you've used it to kind of be like a walking testimony of God's goodness in your life. What is the best thing about what you do about Compliment and Complete? What are the things that, because I really loved how you really walk in gratitude. And I think that really is why, you don't really have an emotional attachment to anything because you've learned that you are sufficient in only a few things, the things that you need. So can you talk a little bit more about actually that first, the gratitude that you have and what kind of helped you lead your life into a life of gratitude?
Well, one of the first steps in order to connect with the Lord is to stay in praise. I always tell my clients, you have to learn to stay in praise. And the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so there's a gate that we have to go through in order to connect with the Lord, and we have to come into it with praise. And anytime you step outside of the gate, you're open to the enemy. And so when we allow our thoughts to be negative and critical and complaining and all these different things that the human mind does, even anxiety, depression, you're opening up yourself to be attacked and harassed by Satan. And he knows how to do that very well. And so I'm not saying I'm a perfectionist at it, but I have gotten better and stronger and being able to stay in praise. And the more you do it, the more you do it.
That's so good. Yeah, that's so good. Going back to my original question was, what is the best thing about what you do?
Well, one of the things that I like the most is being able to, I have a community of women that we talk all the time, every day, all throughout the day, give them encouragement and support. It's called the CNC community. And we have a Wednesday morning prayer that we do. So I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy. Another thing, it's more than one. Another thing is counseling. I enjoy being able to help people with their struggles. And it's interesting when you open up your mind to the Lord, he can give you all different types of insights on what to tell people, because it really is not coming from me half time. I'm like, Lord, what do you say? I don't know what this person. Anyway, so it's coming from God. And another thing is being able to, what was the third thing? Make material and make worksheets and material that help people to identify what their emotional needs are and what their struggles are. So the worksheets, the materials, I've created all of them, the workbooks, and to be able to help people to overcome emotional struggles and emotional pain in a practical way, being able to write it out, not just telling you to go journal, because anybody can do that, but telling you how to do it, giving you kind of a play-by-play, a guide on how to do that, and not just do that for yourself, but do that to connect with God and hear his voice. Because
That's
that's
cool.
ultimately how you're going to heal emotionally. It's not by your, it's not through yourself, it's through Jesus.
Awesome, awesome. What are your hopes for Compliment and Complete, or even yourself in general and the life that you cultivated? What are your greatest hopes for the next 3 years?
Well, the greatest hope for Compliment and Complete is that it will grow. It is growing slowly. and maybe what I think is slow is not what is slow. I mean, compared to where I was a year and a half, you know, our group has doubled, tripled.
Wow.
So it's growing, but slowly, slowly. So I would love for it to grow, more people to take the programs, get the word out. I have a journal out now. It's called the Refuge Journal, and it takes you through 7 steps, and it's prayer and journaling prompts all throughout it to help you to hear the voice of God and journal out your emotional issues. And I walk you through how to do that. So the goal for Compliment and Complete would be for it to grow. As far as myself personally, I mean, I would love to be married. I'd love to be married and have a family. But then I'm also surrendered as far as anything is concerned to God. And I just want him to have his way with me and my life. And so we make the plans, but the Lord, he's the one who guides our steps.
Yeah, that's really good. I guess to close out, our audience is mainly young adults. And so you shared your experiences and how it took a while for you to cultivate your life, but you did it at a young age, and it can be daunting, you know, not knowing where to go, especially as you were doing it pretty much by yourself and without you know, much family. And so what would you say? I know there's so much you could say, but if you could put it in a nutshell, what is some wisdom or words of encouragement to any young adult who may be feeling stuck, may not really know what to do next in life, or is experiencing anxiety with kind of the things that come with growing up?
Yeah. One of the things that I can say is that we really need community, you know. Mm-hmm. Having what really got me through and helped me to continue was having a church home and having a group of people who were going in the same direction that I was trying to go. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord always had a mentor for me. I always had women who were a part of my life who just poured into me emotionally. And I always had a church family. And because I didn't always have my family. So that was how I got through and how I'm still getting through. The Lord just always continuously provides a woman and a community for me to be mentored and for me to have support. And another thing is, you know, one thing that I'm working through now that I didn't understand when I was younger is self-reliance. And how much I relied on myself versus God. How much I thought I was doing all of that by myself. And how much I really thought I had to do it by myself, you know, because I couldn't really depend on my family and on my parents. So I thought I had to take care of myself. And the sooner we learn that it's not you taking care of yourself, but everything that you do, your breath, your life, you only have it because God's grace gives it. And if he were to withdraw his grace, we all would be dead. And as I've gotten older and grown more in my relationship with God and realized that, it has helped me to forsake and heal and ask for and confess any type of self-reliance and belief that I had it all. And I had to do it all, because that breeds anxiety when you feel like you got to do all this stuff and got to do it all by yourself. And you got to do this and do that. Breeded a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of depression. And the more I am laying that down and surrendering that to the Lord, the more I am an open vessel for him to do whatever it is he wants to do in my life. And so that is what I encourage the young people to do. If you're struggling and you need struggling about the next step, struggling about your life, struggling about what it is you want to do, surrender your life to God. Completely surrender your life to God and allow him to really allow yourself to rely on him and not on you. Things will go a lot smoother for you. Trust me.
Absolutely. I can definitely attest to that. And it's only when we really stress the most, when, when we feel like we have to hold on to everything, have a sense of control. I've had my own fair share of traumatic experiences and where I had to feel like I needed to know what's next, to kind of guard myself, right? But that's when truly the Lord moves, when we basically lift our hands and just give it to him, rather than holding it in our hands for dear life, but just surrendering. So that is a great word. I think that's a big theme about the life that you cultivated, and the life that I hope that we all are encouraged to live by, because you live a more fulfilled and purposeful life when you don't have to know everything. You just continue to live by the Spirit.
Yeah,
And continue to, it's exciting.
even if nothing changes, you'll have peace. Even if you were even if God gave me nothing else, I have peace because I'm surrendered to Him. And that's the goal. The goal isn't to have all these things and have this and have that, but the goal is to have peace.
Yes, true. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Tanitra, for your time. I was heavily encouraged by you sharing your story. Is there anything you'd like to let our audience know, or even your audience to know, anything coming up that we should keep an eye out for?
I'm going to be having some sales on the journals for the holidays. It's the Refuge Journal. Like I was telling you, it has several different prayer prompts. It's pretty much a guided prayer journal to help you to understand how to connect with the Lord. And if you're struggling, I teach you how to use your senses that God has given you to hear from Him. You're writing, you're talking, listening to hear God's voice. So it's going to be coming up some sales, so look out for that.
All right. Thank you so much, Denitra, again for being our guest today. If you were encouraged, guys, by this episode and learned something, please like and subscribe. And also, of course, I will leave all the links for you to connect with Denitra in our description. I'm definitely going to take a hold of that journal. We love journaling over here, and we heavily encourage people to do so. It is such an important part of your life and your journey, and it's so nice to be able to look back. I have loads of journals in my past, and being able to see, where God has taken you, and the prayers that you once had turn into answered prayers, and it's amazing. And so, I'm super grateful myself to have Denitra here. And yeah, if you like content like this, please connect with us on Instagram, on Facebook, and on YouTube as well. We also have more in-person events over here on Positive and Ponder. We have one coming up this Saturday. We have more in store that we are in the planning process of, but I'm super grateful personally of where God has taken this. Just like Denitra, I don't know, exactly what's next, what's going to come in the next month. And I can plan to the T if I wanted to, but I've seen how miraculous and how purposeful and special every moment has been, just from letting go and just letting things be. So yeah, I think that's our big theme for today's episode. Please don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode. Don't forget, guys, to always love, to always be curious, and to always ponder. Bye.
Bye.
All right.